This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
Yes, with a community report, because Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, that's what we do to get the second hour going. And today we're going to Edmonton, Alberta, to visit with Mark Workman. And we are actually coming to Edmonton, Alberta today, because when we last spoke to you, Mark, you were in Geneva. Now you're back home. Any upcoming travel plans in the last little while? How's all that going?
It's going well. Hey, Kelly. Hey, Ramya. I hope you're both doing well. I do have some plans upcoming that I'm pretty excited about. So next week, I'll be heading down to Brazil, specifically Sao Paulo, for some meetings. It'll be the first time heading down to South America. So pretty excited about that. And one kind of cool thing, I don't usually get a chance to arrange a kind of a side trip as part of these travel plans, but this time I was able to put something together. So I'll be heading to Iguazu Falls, which is, I think of it as kind of like South America's Niagara Falls. It's on the border between Brazil and Argentina. And so we have a little side trip planned to visit that as well.
And is there going to be like waterfall climbing? Because you can have various kinds of experiences with waterfalls. Is this one that you just kind of hang out around, or is there going to be more physical activity involved?
There's going to be a little physical, so I am trying to get a little bit in better shape before I go. Yeah, there's going to be a bit of hiking happening.
All right, enjoy.
Well, thank you.
Wow, that's so much fun. But like you say, the lack of fun, I got to get in shape for this, but it's all worth it. Yeah. Let's talk about World Health Day. Last week was World Health Day. It fell on the April 7th. Tell us a little bit more about it, and why does it matter to us, Mark?
Yeah, it's a celebration that happens every year, and it's a United Nations, one of these kind of internationally recognized days, particularly relevant to the World Health Organization. Goes back quite a ways, back to 1950, and the idea behind it is that every year they would identify some kind of specific theme or topic that's related to healthcare, with the goal of raising more awareness about that particular issue. And in this case, the theme was My Health, My Right. So it was really focused on issues around rights when it comes to healthcare.
Wow. Yeah, it's interesting because, Mark, we talk, as you know, so much on here about, hey, man, what are we going to recognize? What is the hot button topic for any of us? So when we hear about it, we might think about prevention or treatment of disability, but that's not necessarily what all goes on that day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that is a typical kind of connotation of this day is that it's all about, you know, making sure that we avoid disabilities or health conditions, that sort of thing. And personally, I'm not someone who gets super excited about prevention or treatment to cure. I am glad that there are people who care a lot about this and that are working on it. But for me, the focus has always been on the people living with disability now and making sure that the world that we live in is as inclusive, accessible as possible. So the prevention topic's not a huge one for me, but to your point, healthcare is so much more than that, especially if we're talking about preventing a disability that I might already have or trying to treat it. So for me, one really clear example is the pandemic. Healthcare became very important to a lot of people. And we did start to see some of the gaps when it comes to accessibility of healthcare. So the easiest one for the blind community would be the tests. Those COVID tests were just not designed in a way that you could easily independently do them. And that's not, you know, that those were design choices. We could have made a test that was fully accessible to people who are blind, but that was not something that happened. And so I think we became more aware of access to healthcare issues. You know, we could think about the facilities themselves. So hospitals and other kind of healthcare facilities, are they designed in a way to be accessible? You know, using color contrast, using other design features like signage that's accessible, things like that, or even the equipment itself, right? So if you're a wheelchair user, are you able to actually use some of the equipment, the diagnostic equipment, CT scanning machines, MRI machines, that sort of thing. Are they accessible to you? So, you know, I may not be super focused on preventing, treating existing disabilities, but I definitely think that blind people and other people with disabilities should have equal access to the healthcare system.
Yeah, I noticed just little things. You know, does the person when you're at a medical facility say, call your name, Mr. McDonald? Yes, come this way and walk away from me. When there's tests, you're having a health concern, we want to run down a few things to see, you know, we're going to put this light in your eye and see how it's going to react. Well, but I'm a blind person. How do you expect it to react? I don't. Well, what does it tell you? I don't know. So there are some of these things that make you feel like, guys, am I the first blind person to become ill? And I'm sure other disabilities feel the same way. Yeah. We talked during the pandemic about language, people not knowing. So the things, even to put a mask on properly, what do you do with this? With it? Because there wasn't enough in multiple languages, yet we're a country that brags so much about having such diverse culture when it comes to it. So I hear you with some of this stuff. If you find somebody who's you know interested to get some of this access, what would you suggest for them? How do people get involved in kind of advocating and speaking?
Well, and actually, so for those who are in Alberta, a really cool opportunity was just announced yesterday. So the government of Alberta announced yesterday that they would be taking applications to join Alberta Health Advisory Councils. So these types of bodies exist in various provinces around Canada, but they're new here in Alberta. There's these new councils, and they're meant to give advice to policymakers, decision makers, those responsible for running the healthcare system, to make sure that that the healthcare system is designed in a way that meets the needs of all Albertans. And so they're creating 12 regional ones and one Indigenous council. And if those, you know, if anyone in Alberta is interested, you can apply online. You do not have to have, you know, specific expertise in healthcare. You don't have to be a healthcare practitioner. You don't have to be an accountant or something like that. The idea is really to recruit a wide range of Albertans with different areas, different backgrounds, different experiences. So your expertise might just be that you have lived experience of disability, and that type of expertise, that knowledge, that insight would be super helpful to these councils. So I think that's definitely a great opportunity for anyone here in Alberta who's interested in healthcare and you want to try to improve accessibility of the system.
So you get out there and meet a lot of people, tons of people with disability and, you know, living with it. And I know a lot in our low vision blind community. When you see something like this and they're looking for feedback, a lot of us just kind of either are at that point of, it won't make any difference. Oh, that's not me. I wouldn't know what to say. I don't know what to tell them. Well, you have your lived experience. Can you just, I don't know. Somebody who travels around, goes to a lot of places, talks to people. Is this the perpetual problem that you would say a lot of us in our community have? We're not all built to be advocates, nor did anyone appoint us that. It's something that you do because you need to, or at least hopefully you stick up for yourself. But I would imagine wherever country you go, that's one of the regular problems. That's the same anywhere.
It is. It's a marathon, not a sprint, right? So to your point, doing this one thing is not going to change the healthcare system. It's when we stack up all of these different activities, these initiatives, over time, we'll see improvements. But it is hard for people to stay motivated for that length of time, especially when you're not seeing, you know, the dramatic progress that you want to see, because there is so much need for change, for improvements. And so staying motivated is definitely a challenge. And then feeling like I don't have the knowledge or the expertise to, you know, sit around a board table with people who are lawyers and doctors and accountants and things like that. It is, there's a reluctance to do that. I think once you get over that barrier, and you realize that you actually do have something really valuable to contribute, that they don't have, that they, none of their credentials, their education has given them the knowledge, the skills that you have. And so bringing that to the table is actually a really big benefit to them as well.
Yeah, that's an extremely important point. And that's part of the reason why we advocate for so much, consultation, reaching out to the community, you know, getting on all levels of feedback, because the lived experience aspect of it, so many of us, we under examine, under appreciate, and just undermine in general. But mm-hmm. also getting to the community in itself can be a barrier sometimes. Like, where do we, you know, we know the amount of blind and low vision people who live in Toronto, but when there's a study going on and you want to get people involved, sometimes the numbers are so few, because where do we find them, and how do you get people to trust that their opinion, perspective, and lived experience matters?
Yeah, it is an issue. And we talk a lot about, within the World Blind Union, talk about meaningful consultation, meaningful engagement. And we try to use the word meaningful because we know that not all consultation is meaningful.
Sure.
Sometimes, right. Yep. And, you know, I've worked in the government, and I don't think it's a big secret to say that sometimes the government has a pretty good idea of what they want to do, but they need to check a box that says mm-hmm. they consulted. But it's not super meaningful if you've basically made up your mind already and you're just going through the motion. So I do think there's a fatigue with consultations as well, mm-hmm. right? You get invited to these things quite often. We have other things going on in our lives that, you know, we don't just want to spend all of our time giving accessibility advice and feedback. And it's often unpaid as well, sure. Which is a problem. I think compensating people for their time, for their expertise is important, but then also making sure that the expertise or the advice that they give is acted on in a meaningful way, as opposed to just written down on a piece of paper and check the box and now we've done our consultation.
Yeah. Yeah, all very good points, Mark. Thank you so much for today's report, and all the best. Have fun in Brazil.
Thanks. I'll let you know all about it.
Yes, talk to you next month. Sounds good. Mark Workman joins us. He's our community reporter in Edmonton. And we check in with our community reporters Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays to kick off the second hour of the show.
Join us weekly for The Pulse with host Juita Gupta, who brings us closer to issues impacting the disability community across Canada. Watch The Pulse on YouTube or listen wherever you download your AMI podcasts.